Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community, including News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring today's program. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. We are talking this morning about Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont. Director David Barrett is back with us. David, good morning. Good to have you here again.
Hi, Ted.
And also making her first stop, but probably not the last, Buffy Knappenberger, the manager at Belmont's Visitor Services and Museum Shop Manager. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Buffy, well, I'll start with you. Let you jump right into this.
Sure.
You've been at Belmont for a while.
I have. It's been just over 3 years at Belmont. Just under a year in my current position as the Museum Shop Manager. So it's been great.
What got you to Belmont in the first place?
I was really interested in working at some of the local museums, and so I was just really excited by the prospect of working at Belmont. It's such a unique museum. It's got a historic home that, you know, a lot of people love to tour the historic homes, but it also has the art galleries, the studio space, so it's wonderful.
We're going to get into, as we go on along this morning, some of the things that are in the museum shop, because I had been coming to Belmont now for years, but always just went through there and went on up to the house or went around the grounds and a lot of good stuff there. And I guess having the Stafford County Visitor Center there and the museum, and I'm sure you run into cases where people are there and look over and ask about the house and then end up buying a ticket and going on the tour.
All the time. It happens all the time. People stop by and they say, you know, I've seen this house from the river or from the bridge, mm-hmm. and, you know, what's this place all about? So we're happy to tell them.
Well, and you see the house up close after mm-hmm. seeing it from a distance, and it's a pretty majestic house.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful home.
What's it like to work at a place like that has history and a story? I'm sure there are times you just kind of daydream and things are slow and just think, this is a really cool place to be.
It is so special to work there. It's a special place to visit, and it's just wonderful to work there. And you walk through the home, and it's just like the Melchers are still there.
David, I was thinking, knowing that you were coming in this morning, I was thinking it was really just a few years ago, because I can remember saying to you, Belmont is the best kept secret, and you saying, you know, we don't want that. That's not how we want to be known. But more and more people, and I think some of it's the signage, some of it is just the fact that you come here and elsewhere and are able to tell the story, and more people you run into are aware of Gary Melcher's in Belmont.
Well, one of the things, Ted, that has helped, and you mentioned the signage, but we're also doing a lot more with Stafford County Tourism to promote Belmont through both their electronic media and social media, mm-hmm. as well as signage. And the new wayfinding signage in Stafford has helped tremendously, and I think Buffy can attest to that. For a number of years, almost 10 years now, we have acted as the official Stafford County Visitor Center, registered with the state, able to provide all the general information about the area and region and all the sites. And Buffy and her staff are charged with greeting people who come off the interstate or just wandering around the southern part of the county, trying to find out more about Stafford and what's available. And one of their jobs is to convert those anonymous visitors who have no idea where they are into Belmont lovers and people who will take a tour and learn more about us. So that's part of our responsibility there, working with Stafford Tourism. And it's helped a lot over the last 10 years to get more and more people aware of it, not only out-of-towners, but people who have, as Buffy said, been driving by for years and seen some of the signage, and now they see even more out on the interstate and around the county.
Yeah, but it's amazing how signs like that mm-hmm. can help, because I do see the newer signs. And before, I was here for a lot of years before I'd ever gone there. I had seen some signs, but really wasn't sure how to get there, because you're tucked away with Falmouth there. And once you get there, you think, well, this was easy. I don't know why I didn't try this before.
Well, that's one of the unique things about Falmouth and Fredericksburg is that back in the days when the post office reorganized, probably 30 years ago, the residents of Falmouth wanted to maintain their identity. They didn't want to be lumped in with Fredericksburg, which is what the post office wanted to do. And as a compromise, the post office has since that time allowed people to use either Fredericksburg or Falmouth on their mailing address. And those that have an attachment to Stafford and Falmouth use Falmouth, and those that want Fredericksburg in their address use Fredericksburg. So it's a unique situation that way. And we use Falmouth because of our affiliation with Stafford County.
Yeah. Buff, you mentioned about people seeing it. This is the time of year when it can be seen.
With the
leaves off the trees, mm-hmm. and you look at it, you look over there and you see it and you do think, well, it's not that far away. I mean, I'd like to go see it up close, and it's worth the drive.
It is, and we have a lot of visitors who are just driving by. They stumble upon our location. They might have been in traffic for a long time, and what a perfect place to stop and stretch your legs and, you know, walk through the gardens, go look at the river with the leaves down. You get a great view of the Rappahannock mm-hmm. as it curves in front of the river. And even just listening to the river is quite tranquil and peaceful.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago telling David the story about having some family members from out of town who came in and knew all about Gary Melcher,
really?
They had studied him in school. And I remember David saying that wasn't, in some cases, that's not unusual, especially in different parts of the country, to have studied him. And he's in our backyard, and a lot of people aren't that aware of Gary Melcher.
Absolutely. I think most of our visitors have never heard of Gary Melcher, so they're always amazed and shocked whenever they leave. They're like, how could I not have heard of him? He is just such a wonderful artist.
Yeah. And I guess, David, that's kind of the excitement of what you do, of being able to share that history and to get that word out.
Yeah, it's a discovery for people, and it's a nice discovery. People don't anticipate the number of artworks they can see, or the depth of the artworks, or the variety and the quality when they get there. They just don't expect it in a small historic site in a relatively small city. We can compete with any major artist home in the country, and we're part of a larger artist home and studio consortium that the National Trust oversees, along with another 25 sites around the country. So we get a lot of national visitors who are following the trail of other artists' homes and studios. Mm. There's a subgroup of interest for people who really want to see where artists lived and worked during their career.
And you look around here, and we see so many pictures of and from Chatham and Kenmore. But you get up there, like you say, Buffy, by Belmont, and it's just a magnificent house.
It is. It's just wonderful. This beautiful house on top of a beautiful hill.
Yep. We are talking about Gary Melcher's home and studio this morning at Belmont. Buffy Knappenberger, the museum shop manager here, along with David Barrett, the director of Gary Melcher's home and studio. When we come back, we will talk about a juried photo exhibition that opens soon. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont, our focus, with David Barrett and Buffy Knappenberger here this morning. David, one of the things that is about to happen is a juried photo exhibition. It is called Belmont Portrayed Through a Lens. So I guess that means we're talking camera.
Yes, we last year we did a show for the first time inviting local artists to submit entries for a show called Belmont Portrayed, which was confined to traditional media, painting and watercolor and drawing. And it was what we wanted to do is celebrate our 40th anniversary last year by inviting artists who were always on the grounds painting and sketching to submit their depictions of Belmont. And we had a huge turnout, over 100 entries, and I chose about 65 works to be in the show, which was up through the spring, and got a lot of turnout from people who wanted to see their artist friends. Artists would bring their own friends along, a big bump in attendance. First time we'd ever done an exhibition of living artists' work. During that show, I had several inquiries from photographers who said, why didn't you include photography in this show? And I said, well, I wanted to have space for more traditional media to celebrate what Gary Melchers did. But what it did was spur the creation of a sequel for this year, which we're calling Belmont Portrayed Through a Lens. And it is going to be limited to photography, images of Belmont, both buildings and the grounds and gardens. And the entries for the show open this coming Monday, January 23rd, online only. All of the information is on GaryMelchers.org, our website, entry forms and details about the show. Entries will be open and accepted through February 17th, about 3 weeks. Then I will look through the entries, select a show, inform the artists, and the pieces will be delivered and hung and ready for viewing to open to the public on March 18th. And run through the middle of May, so May 21st. So it'll be a large show. Hopefully we'll get dozens and dozens of entries to choose from. But there are so many photographers who both amateur and professional, who come on the grounds to take photos during all scenes of the year, probably more than the traditional artists working in paint, because it's so quick and easy to do that. And a lot of professionals, we do a lot of photo shoots for weddings and senior pictures and group shots and family pictures. And so a lot of photographers will see the site first during those professional sessions, and then they'll come back and do their own work because they like it so much. So we're looking forward to seeing who and it's open to all, both amateur and professional. So anybody that's got a photo that they think, epitomizes Belmont, please submit it.
Yeah. No, this is your chance. If you do like to go around and snap pictures, and especially if you've got something, I mean, you could still do something even now. Little tougher right now. It's a little tougher right now
Well, as Buffy suggested, now's actually a good time to take shots of the grounds where you can actually see the river. Through the woods and open shots with reflections and water and sky and in the woods. Often it's more interesting when the leaves are off the trees than it is with just everything being green. Lots of possibilities and there's no restriction on when things were done. I could look at things were done 20 years ago. There's no restriction. I know people have things in their files that they'd love to submit that was always their favorite photo. Well, come on, submit it.
What a great opportunity for everybody, whether you're a professional, whether you're amateur. And like you say, Belmont's the kind of place that you walk around in, and a lot of times, I've been there a bunch of times, but you see something from a different angle, and you see something a little bit different, and it's a great place to take
pictures. And the gardens, and the foliage and the plantings change seasonally, so you could have dozens of different views.
And Belmont is so large, you have so many different options for photographs. Mm-hmm. You can take photos in the traditional garden space with the beautiful flowers. You can go down to the river, take shots there, through the woods, through our trails, through the woods, to the, there's just so many different places.
So go to, you can go to the
GaryMelchers.org.
GaryMelchers.org and get all the information. It is called the Belmont Portrayed Through a Lens. You'll see that That's on the website, and it's
right up front,
right there for you to do. And again, it starts you'll start taking submissions January 23rd,
next Monday, right,
through February 17th. Speaking of, Buffy mentioned the trails and everything. You've got another one of the one of your guided woodland walk tours coming up on the 29th.
Yes, our woodland walk tour happens the last Sunday of the month at 2 p.m. You can meet outside of our stone garage, and we have a master naturalist that will come and take you on a guided tour through our woods and through our trails and explain the history of the property, explain the flora and fauna of the woods and all that good stuff.
Yeah, how long does it – I mean, there's a lot of property there to walk.
Sure, sure.
We have about a mile and a half of trails
through
the back part of the property that go down to a stream and down to the river. The hike takes about an hour, might go depending on how much everybody wants to talk or ask questions of the master naturalist. It might be an hour and a half. We suggest everybody wear comfortable clothing, comfortable shoes, because it can be fairly steep and relatively rough.
Yeah.
But we not only have the various plants geographic features talked about, but we also have historical sites within the trail system with markers and historical information posted. Back down in that area, there's a spring head that Joseph Fickland, the owner before the Melchers, put in the mid-19th century, where he pumped water from a spring up to Belmont. There's a pumping house and station that Gary Melchers installed with a gasoline-powered pump back in the 1920s that got water up from there. There's the ruins of an ice pond. The dam is still there that everybody got their ice from back in the 19th and early 20th century. So there's quite a few historical sites that can be learned about as you go around as well. So it's a informative and discovery filled walk, as well as going down by the river and talking about the history of the river in that area and the fishery and how not only Native Americans but Americans who settled Falmouth used the river.
Wow, I need to go on this. I need to go on this walk. You've talked about things that I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. That's and the master naturalists do a wonderful job. They're all volunteers.
Yeah,
and they do this a number of area sites around the area, but they've been doing it for us for probably 8 to 10 years now. As we've expanded our trail network, and that's what they do. They talk about it. They teach about it, and they're enthusiastic about it.
See, I just thought it was a path that went down to the river. And
well, you can do that as well on your own. The trails are open all the time during the day, and you can take – and that's why we have the historical markers installed that you can learn about it on your own. But the master naturalists really get into the background and can answer the questions as well.
Yeah. Okay. That's on Sunday the 29th.
Right, the last Sunday of each month.
Each month that takes place. So I got to do that one of these times. When Gary Melchers was looking for a place – in Fredericksburg, or in this area, it turns out in Stafford County, how old is the house? Was it an easy choice for him to decide this is where
house,
he wanted
to? Well, the house
to?
Dates to the early 19th century and was expanded in just before the Civil War and was in the Fickland family until Gary and Corinne found it in 1915 when they bought it. They had looked at a number of locations around Fredericksburg. They'd been alerted to Fredericksburg by some friends who lived down here from in New York. And there's also information that Corinne Melchers was related to members of the Fickland family who owned Belmont. So
okay.
We might have known about it that way. But the ironic thing is that when they came here, we do know that they also looked at Kenmore, which was for sale at the time. It had not yet been restored. It was simply an older house in downtown.
Yeah.
Yet they chose Belmont, and we think because they wanted more of a country setting with the acreage. They wanted to have a gentleman's farm rather than be in a city house. So I always kid the Kenmore Regents when they come into town, and sometimes they've had events at Belmont that, Belchers chose Belmont over Kenmore, which they may not have done today, but we'll see.
Did they make many changes to the house, or is the house pretty much what it was like when they saw it? And
we talk about during our tours, we talk about the changes to the house and where it was when the Melchers came. And the Melchers, their major addition was a sun porch to the garden side of the house, so that they could enjoy the view of the gardens. And they also added a second floor porch to the west side as a screen porch that they could sit on and get the western breezes. And then they added a third floor to the servants' wing so they could have an additional space for a cook and a maid in that wing. Then they added a number of outbuildings. They added a garage, which is now our visitor center, and they added a cow barn because they wanted to have their own fresh milk and cream. So small things like that to make it. And then, of course, Gary added his studio building about 10 years after they moved there. So he wouldn't have to travel back and forth to New York like he did when they first moved there.
I know he traveled a lot. Did he spend a lot of time here, or was he kind of in and out?
The first few years, he spent a lot of time in New York. And Corinne stayed in Falmouth getting the property properly decorated and organized and added on to overseeing the property. And he would be in New York for a month or two at a time, and then would come home for a few weeks and then go back to New York because that's where he had a studio up there, and kept most of his memberships in men's clubs up there, and would stay in the clubs and work in his studio. And that's where all his clients and galleries and dealers were. By the early 20s, as he entered his 60s, he decided he didn't want to travel quite so much. So he had a studio designed and built there at Belmont so he could work there and people would come to him rather than him traveling up to New York all the time. So it was a convenience factor as well as a place that he could show off his work be able to sell work from the property as well.
GaryMelchers.org, the website for Belmont, Gary Melchers Home and Studio in Falmouth. We were talking about that this morning with David Barrett and Buffy Knappenberger. More coming up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, back to News Talk 1230's Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning, Gary Melchers Home and Studio at Belmont. David Barrett, Buffy Knappenberger here this morning to talk about some of the things going on at Belmont. One of the things, David, that the selected works by Gary Melchers, which is a fairly new book, and we did a show on this when this was being put together. It is a fabulous book with just the pictures, not only some pictures of Gary Melchers at Belmont, but just his works. But there's a quote here that I just came across that it's just fantastic that Stafford County or somebody needs to use a lot. He's quoted in the New York Herald in 1928 as saying, "On my return to Fredericksburg, I walked through the house and opening the back door, looked down the hill across the fields and the river. The beauty of Virginia made me wonder how I could ever have left, even for a winter."
Yeah, we use that in a number of sites on our website and in our brochures and such, and it's a really evocative quote, as to why he chose Virginia, and how he saw it as home, even after so many years abroad and so many years in New York and being from Michigan, he and Corinne just fell in love with Virginia.
Yeah, no, you read that quote and you think of a you think of a day in March or early April mm-hmm. when the seasons are changing yeah. and especially from Belmont.
Yeah, we have a lot of paintings up on view now of springtime scenes that he painted here in Falmouth. And he loved going out and painting plein air, out in the city and in the village. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of them. And he loved the springtime. That was his favorite time to go out and paint.
We have, Buffy, or you have, a promotion coming up that I don't think I've ever heard that this has been done before at Belmont for Valentine's Day. Talk about that.
Correct. Well, Belmont itself is, at its heart, it's a love story. It's the story of Gary and Corinne Melchers. So they had met on an ocean liner crossing to Europe. She was on her way to study art. He was on his way back to Europe. And they fell in love and got married and became a partnership. And their love story is kind of what inspired us to promote a Valentine's Day special. And so on Valentine's Day weekend, which will be the 11th and the 12th, we'll be offering a 2-for-1 special. So if you buy one admission, you get an admission free. So it creates a good opportunity to share Belmont with somebody that you care about, basically. You can come and take a tour of the property during the day and then maybe go off for a nice dinner at night. And if you haven't been, it's a great chance to explore the space for the first time. There's so much to do. Want to plan on leaving about an hour and a half to see everything mm-hmm. because we start with a video that'll give some great background about Gary. Then you can go off to the house and have a guided tour of the house. Then off to the studio and the art galleries, on the grounds, through the trails, all that good stuff. Time to shop at the gift shop and pick up something for the person that you really care about. And we'll be open from 10 to 4 both days, Saturday and Sunday. And if you've been here before at Belmont, please come back because we're always rotating paintings. Everything, there's always something new.
Yeah. And Belmont is the kind of place that in some ways you don't want to rush through. There's lots to see and look at.
Absolutely. There is so much to see.
Yeah, one of the things that visitors often comment on, and I know Buffy mm-hmm. can confirm this, is that as they're leaving, they say, "I had no idea. I'm totally blown away, and I wish I had more time or had devoted more time to it, and I'll be back." Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing. You can't convince someone when they first arrive that they're going to have to spend, an hour and a half or so. They say, "I just want a quick walkthrough. I don't have much time, what is this place?" And then they get into it, and they never want to leave.
With so many artifacts that are of the Melchers' time, mm-hmm. it's so much to draw people in. You walk into the home, and it's just filled with Melchers' belongings. There's something to catch your eye, and you just want to know more about that object across the room or that painting on the wall. And you get to the studio, and you get to see his actual paintbrushes, his palettes, you know?
Yeah, no, all of that to see all that, just the historical part of it, and then you get into the house and see this is where they lived and all of that.
Absolutely.
So it's 2-for-1 on February 11th and 12th. So when they met on the ocean liner, I guess she knew who he was.
She did. She knew who Gary was. She had seen one of his paintings called The Skaters. In Philadelphia, and so she saw his name on the passenger list and was very excited to find out that Gary was on board the same ship.
Yeah, he was pretty well known to the art community at the time and to any art student like her. She would have known his reputation because he was exhibiting all over the country mm-hmm. In Europe. And so she was starstruck. He was 20 years older.
Just going to say, what was the age difference?
Yeah, she was 20, 21, and he was 40. And I think 1901, they met on shipboard. She was traveling with her mother. Of course, she wasn't going to travel by herself to Europe at that age. She arranged, from what we hear, the deck chairs, so to speak, to be able to sit near him and introduce herself, and then sat with him at dinner. And she really went after him. He was a lifelong bachelor. He'd never been married or attached, and he was in his early 40s. And so she must have done something to catch his eye.
Well, what a great thing to be able to do this for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Because love was in the air.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. It's very true. Yeah. So it's a great honor, a tip of the hat to Gary and Corinne's love to open it up for anybody, you know, to come and just enjoy Belmont.
How long did they court then before they got married?
About a year. About a year. Yeah. She continued when they got to Italy. He continued on with some business he had there, and then went back up to Holland where he had his studio, and said invited her to come up with her mother later in the summer to visit and perhaps take some lessons in painting from George Hitchcock, his colleague and studio mate up there. And so she took him up on it. And she and her mother came up and spent a number of days, and I don't remember how long it was exactly, but got to know each other a little better. And then they courted, through the mails and back and forth for about a year. And they were married about a year later. And they married on the Isle of Jersey in the English Channel, because Gary had a studio in Paris and another in Holland, and they wanted to get married in Paris. But the French government had a law in place that foreigners, who they were, non-citizens, could not get married in France unless they had a one-year waiting period. So Gary and Corinne weren't going to wait a year. So they went in the English Channel, which was neutral territory, English territory, on the Isle of Jersey, where there was no such restriction, and got married in Jersey, and then moved back to Paris and had a place in Holland as well, and set up shop there in 1903. So they found a way to stay together.
Now, you mentioned a few when we were talking about the house itself, because I had always assumed that he had the house here, but that they came and they bought it together.
They bought it together. Yeah, they had been married for 10 years and had lived in Europe primarily, both in Holland and in Paris. And in 1910, Gary received an appointment to the Royal Academy of Art in Weimar, Germany, and moved there to oversee the school, the art school in Weimar, and was there for 5 years. And during that time, World War I broke out, and Gary, and being of German heritage, was expected to back the German Republic, but saw himself as an American, of course, and stayed neutral. He was really not in favor of the German cause, and that caused problems with his superiors and the Duke and all his friends in Germany. So it became uncomfortable. The Americans were neutral, so they could stay there and live there. But Gary even wrote in letters that he was very uncomfortable with all of the comments from his friends, who were calling him a traitor and unloyal and all of this to the German cause. So they decided that it'd be better to leave temporarily, they thought, and come back to the States until the war was over and things settled down. Then they could go back and he could work and teach. Well, that didn't happen. He got over here. They had a place in New York for a while. They saw that things weren't getting better and that America might enter the war around 1916. So they decided to find a country home away from the city. And that's when they came to Virginia and found Belmont.
Now, he died in what, 32 or in the early
1932?
In the early 30s. Yeah. She lived about another 30 years.
Right. She was 20 years younger. So when he died at 72, she was only 52.
Yeah.
So she stayed on in Fredericksburg and Falmouth for the next until 1955 when she died. And she and Gary had been founders of the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond. And she served on the founding board there and then the permanent board until the early 50s when illness forced her to resign. So she and Gary were the first couple of art in Virginia during the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And she maintained her affiliation with everything from the Garden Club of Virginia, who helped restore Kenmore, to the Virginia Museum and Stafford County itself. She was well known for her support of local causes and local organizations. During World War II, she helped sell war bonds. She was known as the Stafford County Vitamin Lady. She volunteered for the health department to distribute vitamins in the schools. She did fundraisers at Belmont. The Marine Corps band played on the lawn to raise money for the war effort. So she was involved in a lot of civic causes as well throughout her 20 years by herself.
Did she also help keep his name alive and promote what he had done?
Oh, yeah. That was part of they had no children. You know, he was her cause. And she, you know, maintained all of the paintings and the articles in the studio so that she could show them to people and keep his reputation alive. She lent paintings out to other museums around the country so his work would always be on view. She sold a few things to keep it in the marketplace. And when she actually during the 1940s, as early as 1942, decided she was going to give everything to the Commonwealth, to the state of Virginia, when she died. And that happened in 1955. And everything was given to the state to be run by the Virginia Museum, which by the late 50s decided they didn't want to deal with a site up in 50 miles away. So they asked that it be transferred to another state organization. And that's when Mary Washington College was given the responsibility of administering back in the early 60s.
Okay. The Park Service always talks about things that come in that they're not expecting. Do you ever have any kind of Gary Melcher's type things come in that you're ever surprised at?
Well, not surprised. Often they'll come back to us. They're things that we had known about. Paintings that had technically disappeared. We had no idea where they were. And some things have come back to us that Mrs. Melcher's had actually given away. And then the families of those people who receive things, paintings or drawings, often that she would give away as a little gesture to people will come back to us, and they'll say, "Oh, you know, I have this note from Mrs. Melcher's that she gave this to my mother in 1945." So those are the kinds of things that come back to us. And occasionally, a painting will come back to us, say a commissioned portrait. It will have gone through two or three generations, and the current generation doesn't really care about great great grandma, hanging in their hallway. So they look for a place to give it. And it'll come back to us.
Okay. Yeah. David Barrett here, Buffy Dappenberger here. They're with Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont. When we come back, we're going to talk about the museum shop and some new specialty items. And also the Stafford County Visitor Center is right there. And we'll wrap it up also by giving you information again about Belmont portrayed through a lens. Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking about Gary Melcher's home and studio at Belmont in Stafford County this morning with David Barrett and Buffy Nappenberger. Buffy is the museum shop manager. And for people who haven't been around and either ever seen the shop or haven't seen it lately, lots of changes.
Absolutely. The shop is always getting new product into the store. And when I first started as the museum shop manager, I wanted to really build on our already large Melcher's collection of products. We've had postcards, magnets, puzzles. As you know, Gary Melcher's book that came out a year ago, which has been a great addition to the shop. But so many of these guests have never heard of Melcher's, and when they leave, they're so excited about Melcher's that we want to give them product ideas that they can buy and take home with them and promote to their friends and to their family. So the very first product that I wanted to really tackle was a coloring book. Adult coloring books have been a growing craze for a few years now.
They're huge.
They are, and they're very fun. And they're not only a creative outlet for you, but they're also a relaxation tool. So I was really excited about the idea of getting Gary his own coloring book. I mean, his contemporaries have coloring books of their own, so why not Gary as well? So we went through the Belmont collection of paintings. I picked out 23 paintings that show different styles, different subjects, all to kind of illustrate Gary's diverse talent as an artist. And so we picked out these 23 paintings that are now coloring pages. In the book, you have the actual image of the painting, so you have the opportunity to recreate Gary's work, mm-hmm. or you can, you know, use your own creativity and make your own work of art.
What a great idea.
Mm-hmm. I think probably my favorite part of the coloring book is, and one thing that makes it unique, is that it has a spiral binding. So it really kind of functions like a sketchbook almost. You can lay the pages entirely flat. You don't have to hold a page down as you're coloring. So you can take it outside, you know, put on your lap and go ahead and get started.
Yeah. What a great gift, though, that would be for anybody of any age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a wonderful gift to get somebody. Like I said, it's you know, it's a way to be creative. If, you know, if you're not really ready to, you know, do your own artwork, you can start off with a great coloring book. Or it's a great way to just relax and just, you know, take a moment for yourself.
And you see people all over the place now who have time to kill. A lot of times we'll pull something like this out and you'll look over and they're coloring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
So was it difficult to pick out the ones you did?
It was difficult to narrow it, the field. There are so many great paintings that you would love to see in a coloring book. But like I said, we tried to give you a bunch of different options, different styles. You'll have Gary's realistic paintings. You'll have his impressionistic paintings. You'll have portraits. You'll have landscapes. Mm-hmm. You'll have, you know, a bunch of different subjects that are represented in the book. And so I felt that was a great collection that represents Gary's work well.
So check that out. Go see a lot of other things there at the museum shop. Plus you've got the Stafford County Visitor Center right there.
We do have the Stafford County Visitor Center there as well. So we have a wall that's filled with brochures about information about not only Stafford County, but also the region. So if you need some, you know, information, by all means, stop by. We also sell Stafford County items, books, ornaments, historic maps, throws. So we have a bunch of Stafford County items as well that are available to buy.
Yeah, it's a popular stop for particularly people who lived in Stafford a long time because we have historic photo postcards, mm-hmm. and the historic maps, as Buffy said, that people come in and want to find their ancestral home on it, mm-hmm. and love doing that. And we also stock the Stafford County Historical Society Christmas ornament every year. They come out with a new one. So anything that's been produced that's related to Stafford history, that's what we have in store.
Right. Even Gary is part of the Stafford experience. I mean, mm-hmm. we sell a lot of prints that are of Stafford Heights, you know, so mm-hmm. people that are local want, you know, a painting that represents Stafford, mm-hmm. and Gary mm-hmm. offers that himself.
Yeah, you're right there in the shadow of the house, and you mm-hmm. go over at the house and think, I've got mm-hmm. some extra time, I might want to go over mm-hmm. there. So.
Yes.
It's right there to check it out. But again, the coloring book, what a great idea, and just something that right now is so contemporary. I could envision that another year or so from now, you'll have version 2 having to come out, or volume 2.
That would be lovely.
So check it all out. Before we get out of here, David, I want to give you a chance again to talk about Belmont Portrayed through the Lens, because the 23rd is when people can start entering.
Right. Online entries only at garymelchers.org. And photographs of any general size and scope. There are limitations that are on the website and in the details about the exhibition, but there are no restrictions on date when things were created. There's no restrictions on subject. Just submit your favorite photograph and be prepared to be able to, if you're chosen, have it printed and framed, ready to go by the time we open the show on March 18th. But the openings online are, or entries will be accepted online from next Monday, January 23rd through February 17th.
And one other thing, Buffy, about Valentine's Day, big special here you can take
Day
your
weekend.
Sweetie.
Absolutely. Valentine's Day weekend. Come on out to Belmont. We'll be offering a 2-for-1 special. So if you buy one admission, you'll get another admission free. So it's a great opportunity to bring someone to Belmont and show it off and enjoy it.
Yep. February 11th and 12th is when that occurs. And again, to keep up on what's going on, GaryMelchers.org is the website. David Barrett, the director of the Gary Melchers Home and Studio, Buffy Knappenberger, the museum shop manager, thank you so much.
Good to have you.
And we'll see you soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Town Talk powered in part by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's program are advertising partners who have purchased commercial airtime on WFVA and have been offered the opportunity to sponsor this broadcast. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.